Sim. Good morning to each of you as we come on this rainy Sunday for some of us, and then a Sunday when others are experiencing power outages still. Sunday where we're dealing with the effects of the weather and wondering at the same time, where did summer go? We welcome Mr. Blaine Shaw with us this morning, who will be serving as our musician while Heather Bennett is away. And we pray traveling mercies for her and her family at this time. Let us then begin our time of worship with the call to worship that comes from Psalm 133. And we're waiting for our co-host. All right. Let us be called into worship. How very good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like precious oil on the beard, on the head, running down upon the head of Aaron. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Together, for there the Lord ordained the blessing upon us, life forever. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love, God's unfold our blessing for thee, including the Son of God. Melt the love clouds of sin and sadness, dry the bloom of battle. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the all I was so joyful, earth and heaven fled my face, stars and angels sing around me, center of my throne and praise, field and forest, hill and mountain, barren meadow, crashing, chanting.
Scripture lesson this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28, will be read by Deacon Charles Adolfo.
Good morning, church members.
Good morning.
Today's reading is from Matthew 15, 10 to 28. Here's the word of God. And he called the people to him and said to them, Hear hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and so passes on? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a man. But to the ear with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and cried, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered here, old woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Here ends the reading of the scriptures.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Deacon Adapo. This week marks the point in the year when most of us have wrapped up our summer vacation plans and we're getting back to our normal routines. Let's all share a collective sigh as we say goodbye to summer vacation, if we took one. I don't know about you, but after this whole pandemic is over, even when we hopefully go back into normal routine come the fall, I think I'm going to still need a vacation. I don't know how much planning you put into your vacation. Some people like to go to the same place every year. Some people like to pack up and head out for a weekend just to clear their heads. And some people spend hours, even weeks, obsessing over the perfect trip. But we all share one thing in common. We come home from vacation worn out and needing a few days to recover from our time off. Of course, a few of us can't plan a normal vacation. Recently, I read about a fascinating travel company called Black Tomato that offers a very special kind of vacation package. It's called a Get Lost Tour. For a large amount of money, you can pay the folks at Black Tomato to send you to a surprise destination in a challenging environment, like in a remote wilderness or a desert. Once you get to the airport, you receive essential information about your trip, a satellite phone, and survival gear for your destination. Then after your surprise excursion, it's up to you to make it back to safety and civilization. That sounds like an episode from a reality show, doesn't it? But there are no cameras following you around. However, the company website offers this assurance. Your journey will be closely tracked by Black Tomato's experienced expedition operations team as a safety net. You won't see them, but they'll always be able to seek you. Well, thank the Lord for that. That would make me feel a whole lot better if I was adventurous enough. I could use another word, but I'll just say adventurous enough to take a vacation like that. It takes a certain amount of courage to take a trip to a surprise destination that requires survival gear. Most of us like to have a little more control when it comes to our travel plans. Once you understand a little background for today's Bible passage, you may question if Jesus was on a get lost tour of his own. Our passage begins like this. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Let me stop there for just a moment. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile towns about 50 miles away from where Jesus had last been in Galilee. Why did Jesus travel 50 miles into Gentile territory? Did he have some urgent business there? Did he sign up for a get lost tour? The answer to both questions is no. There's no explanation provided as to why Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon, but he did. Now let's continue our story. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. You don't imagine that Jesus came 50 miles from home just to minister to this distraught mother, do you? Who knows? After all, this is Jesus. Nobody seemed to care about people who were hurting like Jesus did. It makes no difference their religion or where they live. It's interesting to note that after this encounter with the Canaanite woman, Jesus turns around and heads back to his usual area of ministry around the Sea of Galilee. So it would appear that the only obvious reason Jesus might have traveled to this challenging destination was to minister to this desperate woman. A 100-mile round trip. And this was not just any woman. This was a Canaanite woman. In Jesus' day, no observant Jew would speak with a woman outside his own family, and particularly not a Canaanite. They were traditionally considered enemies of the Jewish people. And it's true that at first, Jesus seems to spurn her cries for help. Matthew tells us that after she made this desperate request of him, Jesus did not answer a word. That surely was not encouraging to this woman. His disciples were no help. They came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. At this, Jesus answered, I was sent only to the sheep of Israel. I'm surprised this woman was not crushed at Jesus' response. However, she didn't give up. She came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And he replied with another crushing remark. Is it not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs? It's not right to do that. Now it's time for Jesus to be surprised. Because she came back right on him. Yes, it is, Lord, the Canaanite woman said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I could see her in today's society perhaps doing that neck wiggle. Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Scholars puzzle over Christ's conversation with this woman. It seems so unchristlike. But I wonder if Jesus wasn't giving this woman a test of her desire to have her daughter healed, but even more important, a test of her faith that he really could heal her daughter. I suggest that because of the way Jesus ends this unusual story, he commends this woman for her great faith. He commends her with just four immortal words. What would you think if I told you that on your tombstone, there would be inscribed a four-word epitaph? Well, you might respond, it would depend, you might say, on how well this person who's writing my epitaph knew and understood me. If a newspaper critic wrote of a concert pianist the four words, he was a failure, you could always say that was his opinion. But if one of the world's greatest musicians wrote, she was a genius, then you're apt to take the remark more seriously. This Canaanite woman could take Jesus seriously. He described her with four immortal words, great is thy faith. We know little about this woman. She was a Gentile. She was presumably married. She had at least one child. But that's all we know about her. We don't know whether she was a good woman or a bad woman. We don't know her name. All we know of her is that in this single encounter with Jesus, he spoke to her with this four-word commendation. Great is your faith. Only four words, but they are enough to make her immortal. We can trust these words as being true because the expert on faith was the one who spoke them. These were words that he often could not use to describe his disciples. On no occasion that we know of did we ever hear Jesus say to Peter, James, and John, great is your faith. More often, the words that he spoke to them were, you of little faith. There are only three people in the Bible who were specifically commended by Jesus for their great faith. One was a Roman officer who pleaded with Jesus to heal his servant. Secondly, a woman who had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years and touched the hem of Jesus' robe in the hopes of receiving healing. And third, this Canaanite woman who came to Jesus begging him to heal her demon-possessed daughter. The funny thing is that none of these three people had the right, according to the Jewish law, to approach Jesus with a request for help. They were separated from him by a huge wall of cultural and religious norms. We've already mentioned the Canaanite woman's lowly estate, her lowly status, but the woman hemorrhaging blood was ritually unclean due to her bleeding, and she shouldn't have touched Jesus' robes at all. As for the Roman officer, he was a representative of a Gentile government which oppressed the Jewish people. By the law, none of these three people had the right to bring their desperation to Jesus. But Jesus didn't reject them or correct them. In fact, he commended each one of them for their great faith. I don't know about you, but Jesus' definition of great faith looks a little different than mine. I usually equate great faith with courage or self-discipline or sacrifice. Superhero saints, I would call them. Not desperate people pushing their way in to see Jesus and to be in his presence. Desperation is a scary state of being. Desperation can drive us into making unthinkably bad choices. Many of us know what it's like to feel desperate, just like the Roman officer and the hemorrhaging woman and the mother who wished to have her demon-possessed child healed. The agony of desperation threatens to overwhelm us. We feel like we can't breathe. There's a popular phrase, desperate times call for
desperate measures.
Desperate measures. Desperate times call for desperate measures, that's right. I want to suggest to you that a more helpful phrase would be, desperate times call for Jesus. That's the real truth of the matter. In Australia in 2007, an episode of the television series Mayday was interrupted by a frightening technological glitch. For 6 minutes on that show, a haunting audio loop played in the background. It was the sound of a voice repeating over and over, Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord. Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord. Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord. An investigation discovered that the audio loop was from a news program the previous year about an insurgent soldier's attack on civilians in a foreign country. In such a setting such as that, when people were being killed, such a prayer would seem appropriate. Jesus Christ, help us all, Lord. However, the investigation did not reveal how an audio loop of that desperate prayer happened to interrupt a national broadcast in another area for 6 minutes a year later. The Bible passage about the Canaanite woman shows us that desperation doesn't disqualify you from having great faith. Neither does your gender or your social class. All that's required is the willingness to bring your desperate need to Jesus. What we see is that this Canaanite woman brought her need and refused to keep silent. It makes me wonder as we read the news today and watch this pandemic's impact unequally as it injures those who are already suffering and pushed to the margins. It makes me wonder, what will we say? Or WWTCWD. What would the Canaanite woman do? she would not be silent. Will we refuse to be silenced about those areas where healing, transformation, and restoration need to take place? Where inequality and bigotry spews its demonic poison? There are so many silences that need to be broken. Perhaps sometime we need to ask ourselves, what would the Canaanite woman do? She refused to be silent. It's interesting. This woman who wasn't from the Jewish faith addressed Jesus as Lord. The word she used refers to one who is supreme or master. How did she know? Even when Jesus' own disciples weren't sure of his claims, this foreigner recognized who he was. She knew that the power of life was in his hands. Somehow she knew he was her only hope. Ann Lamott, a New York Times bestseller author, had said that her prayer every morning is, "Help me, help me, help me." Her nightly prayer is, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." In between those two prayers, she says she has an occasional wow, a wow prayer, when she is suddenly aware of God's work in her daily life. Help me, help me, help me. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I think the Canaanite woman and Ann Lamott could understand each other's prayer life. Help me, help me, help me. That's a legitimate prayer. Sometimes it's the only prayer we can manage. And notice that the Canaanite woman brought her desperation to Jesus even when he initially responded with silence and then seemed to turn her away. Some people read this passage and think that Jesus was being insensitive to this mother's pain. But remember, it may be that Jesus did come on foot to this faraway Gentile town 50 miles from home. In Phoenicia, just to meet this one desperate woman in her need. Even more impressive, he came from the right hand of God to this lonely planet to help us all in our times of desperation. Desperate times call for Jesus. Thank you. In 2015, Kate Bowler was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in her abdomen. She was a divinity professor at Duke University and mother to a 1-year-old. Kate and her husband were devastated by her diagnosis. In Guidepost magazine, Kate writes of how she always thought she had a deal with God, a quid pro quo, if you will. That's a phrase that has been bandied around quite a bit this past year. It means a favor or advantage given or expected in return for something. Kate secretly felt she had a quid pro quo with God. She grew up as a good Christian girl, working hard, keeping all the rules. She married a good Christian man, got a doctorate in religious studies, served in her church. Deep in her heart, Kate had thought that God might reward her for her faithfulness by giving her a manageable life. Dying young from a painful and invasive cancer didn't fit into this deal she thought she had with God. She writes, "I had been hoping for control. Work hard, stay right with God, and life will work out." The key word is that little word, and. Do this, and you get that. Do this, and you can expect a reward. Action, result, guaranteed. That's controlling. Ever since my diagnosis, she writes, I had been praying hard, but Jesus, I had to admit, never says that God offers us certainty. Jesus says, God offers us love. Could I love God even knowing I could die in 2 months, she writes. That's a tough question. Some of us may have had to deal with that question or think about the implications of that. But Jesus never says that God offers us certainty. Jesus says God offers us love. Jesus is absolute proof that God loves us. For God, what is it, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus may have walked 100 miles round trip to Tyre and Sidon to minister to this Canaanite woman. And Jesus walked in our shoes all the way to the cross for no other reason than that he loves us. He shared our weakness, our questions, our pain. Remember that the night before his arrest, Jesus prayed so desperately that he sweated drops of blood. So Jesus understands what it is to be desperate. He didn't come to wave a magic wand and take away all of our troubles, but he did come to show us that we are not alone. His message and his ministry kept coming back to this one truth. There is a God, and that God loves you. How we experience that love, sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't appreciate. Sometimes we don't see, because we get locked into our own mentality, thinking, God, if you love me, then you will do that. We try to control God. But when times are desperate, what's the solution? Desperate times call for Jesus. What was the Canaanite woman's first request of Jesus? Have mercy on me. She knew that mercy is an essential part of God's character. And so even though she knew that she had no right to approach Jesus based upon law, she was counting on his mercy to meet her daughter's needs. And notice that even when Jesus was silent, even when he tried to turn her away, she knelt down at his feet. The Greek word used here indicates that she knelt down in worship before him. No matter whether he answered her cry for help or not, she would still worship him because he is Lord and because she could count on his mercy. Dr. Keith Bradley served as a medical missionary in Liberia, West Africa. In 2014, an epidemic of Ebola, the Ebola virus, swept through Liberia. Over the course of 21 months, more than 11,000 people died from the virus. In 2014, that seemed like a lot. But it's nothing compared to today, is it? But anyone, at that point, no one was safe. Healthy people died within days of being infected with Ebola. So imagine Dr. Bradley's fear when he began manifesting symptoms of the disease. He put himself on immediate quarantine. His colleagues couldn't come near him. His family was back in the U.S. He had to deal with his illness and his fears all alone. So he picked up his Bible and took his desperation to the Lord. Dr. Bradley found comfort in a passage from Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. This verse became his focus for prayer over the next few days as his pain and nausea increased. When tests confirmed that Dr. Bradley had contracted Ebola, he called his wife, Amber, in Texas to give her the news. Amber Bradley reports that her fear and sadness were so great that she had trouble finding the words to pray. So instead, she simply sang hymns of trust, praising God in spite of their situation. The Brantleys took their need to Jesus in different ways, him through prayer and scripture, her through singing. But each one trusting in God's mercy and love, no matter what his answer was to their prayers. Dr. Brantley's colleagues arranged to have him flown to Atlanta for an experimental treatment for Ebola. Within a few days, his condition began to improve, and God mercifully answered the Brantley's prayers. When a short time later, Dr. Brantley walked out of that Atlanta hospital as a survivor of the Ebola virus. Of course, we know, and sadly, we have experienced the reality that not everyone who trusts in Jesus and suffers a serious disease walks out of the hospital cured. If they don't walk out of the hospital cured, that does not mean that their prayers were in vain. Faith teaches us, you see, if those who trust in the Lord do not walk out of the hospital cured, they do walk into the arms of Jesus with a new perfect body made whole at last. Jesus complimented this Canaanite woman for her great faith. Great faith is pretty simple, at least by Jesus' standards. Great faith is shown when you bring your desperation to him and trust in God's love for you, however that love may be expressed. The God who gave up his power and majesty and ultimately his life to save us from the power of death loves you too much to ever turn you away. But again, we have to learn that his answer is provided by him. It's provided by God, not provided by us. Desperate times don't always call for desperate measures. But desperate times do always, always call for Jesus. Let the people of God say, amen.
Amen.
We share with you our time of joys and concerns. We send birthday wishes to Betty Easley Bailey in Florida. We send anniversary wishes to Edgar and Judith Miller. We send prayers to Edna Anderson in the hospital completing various tests. We send Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan. We send her forth with prayers for traveling mercies for her and prayers of concern for her family in Jamaica as she journeys to be at the side of her father. Are there other concerns or joys that you wish to share this morning?
Yes, Pastor, this is Menon. How are you?
Hello,
church. Good morning. Thank you so much. I want to say for the joys, Ed Miller and Judith Miller got married the same day as we did. So today is our anniversary as well. So 2003, August 16th was a busy Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Busy day. All right, thanks.
So happy anniversary to Jocelyn and Menon Frederick.
Thank you.
Good morning, Elder Duncan.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, let me extend belated birthday wishes to Elder Lauren Stevens. He celebrated his birthday on August 13th. Happy belated. Sadly, I would like to announce the passing of the aunt, Wanda Franklin, That's the aunt of Denise Davis Miller. She passed on Tuesday. Let's continue to pray for her.
Our condolences.
And also to all the members of UPC who we're not able to be with, I wish you well, and we miss you.
Amen. Thank you.
And that's all I have. That will be all for today.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Elder Duncan. Are there other joys or concerns?
I have a joy, Deborah Neal Huffin from United Presbyterian Church. I just want to add that my sister Darlene Neal did come home from the hospital on Friday.
Amen.
And thank you all for your prayers. Amen.
That is good news. Good news. Are there other joys and concerns?
Good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer Robinson. I'd like to request prayers for Carmen Henry, my mom, who has been in the hospital for almost 2 weeks for a transplant. She's recuperating, but she's still having some issues. So requesting prayers for speed of recovery. Thank you.
Amen. To Carmen Henry, mother of Jennifer Robinson in the hospital, we send her our love and our prayers and our concern. Other concerns to be shared.
Yes, good morning. This is Edward Chang Soon.
Good morning.
From the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck. I'd like to say good morning to my entire church family. Also, I'd like prayers for all our members and all their families and all our friends of the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck. You know, we continue to send praises and prayers to everyone, but we also need our prayers as well. Also, I'd like to special prayers for Cornelius Chambers' mom, Juanita Kirby, who is in a nursing home. And according to Cornelia, her dementia seems to be getting worse. Okay. So those are the concerns I have today.
And Mrs. Chambers' mother's name is?
Juanita Kirby.
Juanita Kirby.
Yes.
Other joys or concerns?
This is Willamette Taylor from United Presbyterian Church. I'd like to acknowledge that Frank McLaurin, our custodian's mother, passed, and also he had very strange pains in his heart this past week. Please pray for his family and all of the people in our congregation. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you. Other joys and concerns? We do have some members from Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis online with us this morning. Are there joys and concerns you wish to share from the Emmanuel family? Let us then, as the people of God, join together in a time of prayer. O God of abiding presence, you stoop to hear the murmuring of your people. You do not desert them in the midst of their fears. You see that they are continually fed and promise that they will always be led. You provide substance in the evening to sustain them through the night. With the dawn comes the promise of abundance that will last them throughout the day. We are people called by Christ to the banquet of life. Lord, we thank you that you heap your mercies upon us and surround us with care. We thank you for how you watch over your children and seek to meet their need, whether it is for improved health or healing, whether wisdom in decision-making and times of anxiety, whether it's reconciliation in our relationships or comfort in times of farewell and grief. Through Christ, we inherit your promised deliverance and give you thanks for the ways your mercy is extended to us. Lord, we thank you for the joys, for the times of various stages of life, for birthdays, for anniversaries, for celebrations when loved ones come home from the hospital. We thank you, O Lord, for showing us so vividly these moments of joy. But Lord, we also thank you in the times of challenge, or even when we have our loved ones who are in the hospital. Even when we have our loved ones who are perhaps preparing for transition to a new life beyond this world. We thank you that in that challenge you remind us and open us up to a new and abiding relationship with you. Lord, we're not happy about the situation, but we are grateful that you are with us no matter what the desperate time, the tragedy may be. Hear our prayers as we make our requests. Feed us the bread of life that Christ brings. Help us to arise refreshed with the dawn, ready to meet what awaits us, whether it's the challenge of living or the preparation for our transition. We pray for those who are hungry, O God, those for whom the lack of food is real. The wilderness exists in their stomachs. They murmur and long to be fed. So, Lord, help us to share what we have in abundance, to be good stewards over what you place in our care. Keep us from greed that inhibits our obedience, and give us compassion to respond to their needs. We pray for those who hunger for peace and joy in their daily walk through these chaotic and sometimes desperate times. We pray for those whose quest is for righteousness. Oh God, keep us from taking your blessings for granted, as though we were entitled to all you give. We have what surrounds us because of your grace. And in Christ's name, we unceasingly praise you for your unending mercy and care, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me.
Jesus, Thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. My faithful heart to me, and reign without a rival there. Thy holy God alone I give myself to thee, entirely give. O grant that now of thee me, my soul, it will but cry, your love alone. Oh, may thy love possess me whole.
Now may you grow in the peace and grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Shaw. for sharing this time of worship with us this morning. We invite you to unmute yourselves, click on the camera that's at the bottom. If you have taken off your pajamas for the day, you can unclick or click on the unclick the camera and let us have a time of fellowship.
Good morning again. This is Erin from UPC.
Morning, good morning.
I forgot to mention congratulations to my son, Jordan Duncan, who graduated high school on that Thursday, the 13th. So a big congratulations to him for his big accomplishment. And he'll be
if
moving.
If he had been in Teaneck, we would have given him a drive-by graduation celebration. Tell him, give him our congratulations, please.
Congratulations.
I saw Sister Marion Whiten. Edna Williams, are you still with us? Edna Williams is in Indianapolis. This is my former neighbor.
Oh. No.
Are you still with us, Miss Edna? I don't know. Okay.
I call Edna, but she didn't answer.
No, I was talking about another
Edna.
It was funny, when I lived in Indianapolis, my neighbor across the street, Edna Williams, was a caterer, besides her regular 9-to-5 job. They came to here and met Edna Anderson, who catered occasionally, uh-huh, besides her 9-to-5. I said, okay, these cooking Ednas all over the world. But again, we hope that... I don't know if Ed Miller, if they were able to join us. He was having power problems. He had power outages.
Oh. Did you hear how Mrs. Bean's doing?
Who?
Have you heard how Mrs. Bean?
No, she went for recovery. I have not heard anything yet.
Yeah, I spoke with the daughter-in-law this morning, and she said she was doing well.
Okay. All right, thank you for that.
Congratulations to Dr. Menon and Jocelyn, as well as Ed and Judith on their anniversary.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We say August 16th was a very busy day.
Thank you, guys.
And we're glad to hear Mrs. Bean is doing well, is, along with that.
Mrs. Jenkins?
Mrs. Jenkins is, I've got to check with her. But she went for rehab and did not hear any update on her. But she was doing well by the time she left the hospital and went to rehab.
Okay.
Blade, it's nice to have you with us today.
It's so great seeing you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
So unfortunately, I left him sitting outside on the back of the back of the church stoop.
I was okay.
Oh, he was in the back and I had opened up the front door. So we had not coordinated. But I started looking
at you again, Pastor.
Yes, we are so grateful he's been with us. Heather, I don't know if she's online or somewhere, but I think she's riding a horse someplace.
I saw a picture of her on Facebook, and they were on a boat rafting.
Oh, okay, on the rafting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they're having a good vacation.
Yes.
But like I said, after this pandemic is over, a lot of us are going to need vacation time. Because my vacation is usually in July, but I think July is gone.
Yeah.
And I don't recall that being vacation.
July 2021.
I guess. All right, then. Well, we will see you all. Have a blessed week.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay.
Blessed week, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Ethel Brown, how are you?
Oh, just doing better.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Bye.